Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Your daily dose of conversation on the news, the economy, arts, and culture, and today, the primaries. The results are in.
Friends, tonight, your voices were finally heard. Voices from the farms, the suburbs, the city of Chicago, and every place in between.
I'm J.B. Pritzker, and I'm going to beat Donald Trump's candidate for governor, Darren Bailey!
Governor J.B. Pritzker, a Democrat, and Republican State Senator Darren Bailey have emerged as the nominees for Illinois governor. They're going to face off in November for the highest office in the state, the Big Kahuna. Today, we are breaking down everything you need to know about the race for governor and what it could mean for the future of Illinois politics. But I can't do it alone, so with me is our expert politics panel, WBEZ state politics reporter Dave McKinney, Chicago Sun-Times Washington Bureau Chief Lynn Sweet, and Better Government Association President David Greising. Okay, so our Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker easily fended off a primary challenge. On the Republican side, State Senator Darren Bailey is now the GOP's standard bearer in Illinois after a big win over five other candidates. Dave, who is Darren Bailey? Let's start there.
Well, friends, I'm working on my line. We're going to hear that a lot on the campaign trail. He is a Springfield novice. He's been around really for basically two terms, a term in the House, and he's in the state Senate. He's one of the really farther right members of the General Assembly, anti-abortion. He's very folksy, homespun, a farmer, anti-abortion, Trump-loving. You couldn't have a bigger contrast, I don't think, to J.B. Pritzker than you do in Darren Bailey.
Yeah. Talk more about his politics, though.
Well, his politics, you know, he's probably most remembered. He signed on to a resolution when he was in the House aiming to create Chicago as a 51st state. And, of course, in the campaign trail, he has referred to Chicago as a hellhole. So, you know, he's really kind of tried to play on geographic differences and arguably, you know, lending your name to things like that isn't the most unifying thing to do.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, we saw a little bit in his victory speech last night where he was trying to, you know, kind of make light of that and draw Chicago back into his, you know, into the mix. But that's going to be a challenge for him moving forward.
Yeah. Lynn, Bailey picked up the endorsement of former President Donald Trump pretty late in the game. But by that point, a WBEZ Sun-Times poll already was showing that he was surging in the polls. Why do you think so many Republicans in the state backed Bailey?
Well, there is a growing MAGA Republican movement in Illinois. And if you are saying, how do I know this? We have a kind of a cheater's proof answer. And that is the downstate congressional race involving two Republican incumbents, Mary Miller and Rodney Davis. Mary Miller won with a substantial win. She is a MAGA Republican who got Trump's endorsement day one. Now, if this distinguished panel here wants to argue that maybe Darren Bailey only won because of all the ads being run by Pritzker and the Democratic Governors Association, we could get into it because it's not a kind of a pure test tube test. If you want to know the strength of the MAGA Republican movement in Illinois, let's look at Illinois 15 and what happened, because there you had you didn't have Democrats trying to game the winner here. And you also had in Rodney Davis, somebody who is sympathetic to Trump. Trump demanded more than just loyalty. He demanded that you bow.
Yeah.
You do an election denial and you buy into the conspiracies and you do not even think about anything having to do with January 6th that may cast an aspersion on him. And all that ended up into the reasons why Rodney Davis lost.
Yeah.
And the other reasons why I say we have a very strong, the Republican Party in Illinois as we knew it coming up is soon to be history.
Yeah. I want to play a little bit more of what Governor Pritzker had to say about Bailey in his victory speech last night.
Let me be clear. Someone who seeks out and accepts the endorsement of a racist, misogynistic, homophobic, xenophobic, twice impeached former president does not deserve to come anywhere near this state's highest office.
So, David Greising, the governor wanted Bailey to win this nomination. You know, he put quite a bit of money into that, as Lynn mentioned a moment ago, the ads. Could that come back to haunt him, though?
Well, he possibly could have miscalculated if there's a big red wave and if Bailey proves to be as good on the stump and as hardworking as he was during the primary. He visited all 120 counties in the state. He stayed last night at his election party past 10 o'clock. He hung around and shook hands and talked to pretty much everybody in the room. And that's not the sort of thing you see Governor J.B. Pritzker doing. He's not as gifted, perhaps, as a natural retail politician as Bailey is. Bailey has an eye for the outlandish gesture, such as refusing to wear a mask on the floor of the State House and getting kicked out of session. He knows how to get attention. And it does appear, Lynn has pointed out something I think very important about the changes of Republican politics.
Yeah.
All of that said, the numbers are not really in his favor. J.B. Pritzker, in an uncontested primary last night, got 630,000 votes. Darren Bailey got 340,000 votes in a runaway victory. All the Republicans together got fewer votes than J.B. Pritzker did, and Pritzker didn't have a contest.
Wow.
So that speaks to the challenge of a Republican
winning in
Illinois.
Is it really a challenge? Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of Bailey, here's what he had to say about the governor and his first term in office.
Friends, billionaires like Pritzker can't relate to the struggles of working people and taxpayers like us. It's that simple. You and I have to balance our family budgets. Billionaire Pritzker has never had to. And he's lying to us about the state's budget. Let me share some truth with you. Each of the state's five pension funds have been $4 billion short of what they should be. If he's balancing the budget, well, he's using your retirement money to do it.
David, is Bailey's critique of the governor accurate?
Well, the pension underfunding is going to be a big point of discussion. Governor Pritzker will say, hey, we're making progress. I'm putting more money into the pensions than I'm legally obligated to do so, and I'm doing that with money he claims that doesn't come from federal ARPA money, et cetera. But what Bailey – I haven't checked the numbers lately, and I'm not sure exactly where that specific number comes from Bailey, but
Dave,
there has been some modicum of progress.
Yeah, and I see Dave shaking his head. No.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be a challenge for Bailey. You know, the fact checkers, you know, when they look at these speeches, will come away with a little bit of gold, I guess, because in that case, you know, he talks about the five pension funds being short each $4 billion. Well, that's not really even – accurate. I don't even know what he's talking about, to be honest, because, you know, cumulatively, the unaccrued liabilities for the pension systems, the five of them that the state has, is over $130 billion, which I don't know where he's getting those numbers. And, you know, there was something similar, too, when he talked about, you know, hitting Pritzker for the deaths of the Legionnaire or the COVID-19 veterans at the LaSalle Veterans Home. He was way off in the number of fatalities there. So little things like that are things that he needs to be careful on the campaign trail, because he will get called out on that.
The stakes are a lot higher now that he's the Republican nominee. When you can be sloppy with the facts when there are, you know, several people running, when you're up against the governor who has a team of people who are really good and jumping on factual errors, it could really catch him.
Well, you know, as Lynn made some really striking remarks earlier in the program, and yesterday when we had you on Reset, you said if Darren Bailey won the Republican ticket for governor, it would say a lot about where this Republican Party in Illinois is headed, right?
Amen. Yes. Yes. And not to let me say this again. I think now, David Greising, I looked at the numbers while you were talking about who voted. When you put all the Republican governor votes together, you get about 765.
Oh.
And so the Democratic vote, because there was another candidate there, is 798. I think what we really have here is a lot of parity, which is not good for Democrats. If we just now, everyone who listens, this was a primary. You had to pick a side. Everything can be scrambled in a general, but that you had so many Republicans turn out is and still giving a decisive win to Bailey, I think is something that we need to kind of scrub some numbers when we have time and look at where these numbers are. Because, see, down what's going to happen is what always happens. We have 102 counties, and the Democrat, if you win statewide, you win really with five or six counties in northern Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes you feel good to see the map and say, I won 89 counties, David. Yeah, but there's 10,000 people who live in each one. But, you know, so I think there's something. So to my point, there is something there. Mary Miller is one. Number two, test tube here is when you look at the Senate Republican primary and Peggy Hubbard, who David McKinney is an expert on, she did really
for
well
better or worse.
With no money and no campaign. So also as our challenge as journalists in the next months is to explain what's happening.
Well, and let's look at the
because these three
counties.
Races are telling us what's going on.
Right.
Peggy Hubbard, look at the vote. Mary Miller, Darren Bailey, not a perfect example because we had the ads, but that is why I said there is something going on. Now, if one other quick thought, the party leadership in Illinois, the Republican Party of Illinois, is a little different than the county party. So, for example, Adam Kinzinger was never censored by the state party. Oh, boy, can you imagine if he ran, given what's happening? Okay, but I think that the next run will be, and I think didn't Darren Bailey say something? He wants to take a run at the leadership now of the party and take it over?
But the thing with that is, like, he has to win a general election for that to even have any kind of gravity. Like,
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, if he loses a general election, like—
He doesn't matter. He's a factor.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do agree with you. Like, the Republican Party, the state Republican Party right now, as it's currently constructed, has no room for the Jim Edgars of the world anymore.
Okay.
And that's a pretty breathtaking development that has come over time. But you think about, like, the influence that a two-term Republican governor, socially moderate, fiscally conservative as Edgar was, can't find a place in this party.
And if we go back to what Lynn was saying about the numbers there, the collar counties in Cook County, or around Cook County, maybe less purplish than we thought they were. You know, Sean Casten beating Marie Newman is interesting. Marie Newman was far more liberal than Sean Casten. That indicates there's maybe it stayed a little more conservative. And Casten won that race, where Democrats almost never win against
right,
Peter
we're
Roskin.
Right, we're talking
about
the 6th congressional district
right,
here.
Right, right. Yeah. And so there's an indication there was a narrative that the collar counties were getting more liberal, turning more purple. They may be more red than we thought based on some of these
Your
results
Honor,
last night.
May I also add, Your Honorable David Bryson.
Judge Judy here.
Here's what's so super cool. After being penned into doing these things on phone, that we could be around our table here, our table of pundits,
Is that
analysts.
A plug for the virtual the table you
Oh,
do
no,
in?
I hadn't even okay, thought of doing yeah. it. But
okay.
Thank you. My point here is I wouldn't use the Casten-Newman primary as a yardstick of anything because she did have this ethics probe hanging on her. She had almost $500,000 of outside money hitting her on the ethics probe. And tragically, Congressman Casten's daughter passed away. There might have been a sympathy factor. So yeah. I wouldn't use that. But here's where you're right. Something is happening because Casten won almost 2-1.
The Illinois primary came on the same day that we heard some shocking new testimony from former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson about former President Trump's actions on January 6th.
I was in the vicinity of a conversation where I overheard the president say something to the effect of, you know, I don't effing care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me. Take the effing mags away. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol from here. Let the people in. Take the effing mags away.
Mags refers to magnetometers, which would detect weapons. So Hutchinson also said that Trump physically attacked a Secret Service agent in an attempt to join insurrectionists at the Capitol. David Grising, this is the same president whose endorsement State Senator Bailey enthusiastically embraced, right? How do you see the January 6th hearings influencing Republican voters ahead of that general election in November?
To say he enthusiastically embraced it, I think, is an understatement. He chased it down relentlessly over a period of weeks, and there was a Trump, being the show person he is, waited till the very last minute. There was a question whether, in fact, he would endorse Bailey. And everybody remembers that Governor Bruce Rauner showed up at a rally, stood behind the grandstand, and never got the endorsement from then-President Trump. So there was a little bit of drama there. What Lynn was saying is very interesting when you think about the fealty that's required from Trump. Rodney Davis actually has said that if reelected, he's going to, and there's a Republican majority, he's going to investigate the January 6th committee. He's got a 90-plus percent voting record with Trump. And so Trump's influence on the party, to the point of your question, is that question of fealty to the whole package. May even include you have to buy into the big lie.
Yeah.
And we don't yet know whether Bailey will express that explicitly. But when asked if there's any daylight between himself and Trump, he has said no. And so it seems to me that that would be a pretty big slice of daylight if you're going to not buy into the big lie. And so we'll have to wait and see. And that's one of those questions that he'll have to answer. If he's trying to get votes back in Chicago, that's not going to be a popular stance to say in a city that he already has said is a hellhole and that he's tried to kick out of the state.
Yeah, he did say that, didn't he? Lynn, what are your thoughts here?
My thoughts is do not underestimate the power of the Trump Republican movement in Illinois. If I say it every 5 minutes during this show, I might have you might think I'm a little overdoing it, but I don't think so. There is something going on here. There is something that makes people want to believe certain things. And you got to respect everybody. The January 6th hearings are going on. And you asked, will they have an impact on our Republican race? Because they are revelatory. They're telling you their evidence that the committee members, including Adam Kinzinger, and Liz Cheney, have to show how ex-President Trump was involved in the January 6th attack and in trying to overturn the election results. That does not read the same way to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had psychologists, political psychologists, and who were here, and we could understand this communication that we're seeing the same thing so differently is where, we've been on this journey now a few years. I think we could all agree today is Wednesday. But there are people that will say, Sasha, if you say so.
Mm. Dave, how is January 6th going to impact all of this in November?
Well, I mean, the House Democrats and Kinzinger and Cheney have done, what I find myself doing is watching these hearings and just, my jaw feeling like it's hitting the floor. And granted, these hearings are happening during the middle of the day. Perhaps people are not paying attention to them. That'll be the challenge. How far is this reaching people? But I think that the situation is this. Donald Trump lost Illinois in 2020 by 17 percentage points. And even if there is a massive red wave that sweeps over America, Illinois is still, it's still a safe Democratic state. And I think that Trump overall with independents, certainly with Democrats,
mm-hmm.
He's a polarizing figure. And if you were to go out on the street in DuPage County and find a Democrat there, you would find most likely them saying, why isn't this guy indicted?
Yeah.
And so I think you're going to see Pritzker, as he did last night in his victory speech, continuously make light of Bailey's connections to Trump because he knows Trump is unpopular in Illinois.
May I underscore one other thing that Democrats have going is the abortion issue. So it's not just Darren Bailey is a proxy for Trump. So it's not just Pritzker Trump. It also is the real issue, and this could appeal to swing voters about abortion rights. We know Roe is done. Nothing is theoretical anymore, and Illinois is a abortion haven state. And if you want to keep it that way, Democrats could argue, let's get rid of all the other issues. We could sit and talk about the state of pension funds and whether or not American Rescue Fund money from Washington properly was used. All that, I think, gets simplified. My quick analysis here, there are two indicators to watch: how the abortion issue mobilizes Democrats, and if gasoline prices stay high, then that will also be a tool Republicans can use even on a state level, because that is an economic indicator everybody sees every day.
And if we're talking the national picture, if the economy stays as it is, it may be that Democrats are dispirited and won't turn out. And if there is a red wave, you could have Republicans turn out in big numbers. And let's take one other factor into account here, which is money. Because Ken Griffin leaving the state of Illinois is a factor that we don't yet know the consequences of that. He was able to match Governor J.B. Pritzker dollar for dollar last time around on any issue, on the progressive tax issue as well. We had this battle of the billionaires. Darren Bailey is right. It's now a farmer versus a billionaire. And he's got Richard Uihlein, who spent $17 million on him in the primary. The question is Richard Uihlein and our other conservative wealthy people in Illinois going to pony up and match Governor Pritzker's spending, which is also, in addition to the issues, the amount of money you're able to spend on TV is a big factor.
I mean, the abortion thing, back on that again, I think you know suburban women are such an important key to this election. Because if you remember in 2018, when Pritzker defeated Bruce Rauner by 15 percentage points, he ran the table. Pritzker ran the table in the collar counties, all but for McHenry County. And I think he is in prime position to be doing that again. And you just go back to the numbers, and pretty much across the board in all the collar counties, Pritzker's numbers are more than doubled, what Darren Bailey got in each of those counties. That means that Bailey is starting out in a hole in the collar counties. But then on top of that, you factor in what the Supreme Court is doing on abortion, on all these other hot button issues. And I just know anecdotally, women are paying attention to this and women vote. Yeah. And so I think that's going to be a major factor in Pritzker's favor. And you will see that in his advertising. You will see that. And that's a very clear line of distinction between Pritzker.
That's a good point. And we'll get back to the money that David brought up in just a moment. But Dave, I did want to check with you for a bit. You had a chance to talk with the governor this morning. You asked why Bailey was his top choice to face off with in the general election. I want to listen to that clip real quick.
I was simply putting messages out that were really about what we will run in the general election. I believe that extremist Republicans are not going to win in November because the people of Illinois are not extremist.
I just also want to mention that Reset did request an interview with State Senator Bailey, but we didn't hear back from his campaign in time for the program. Talk about the governor's record so far, Dave. Biggest accomplishments, biggest missteps?
Well, I mean, I think you have to look at his management of COVID-19. I mean, there have been 33,000 people who have died in Illinois from COVID-19, and that's almost enough to fill Wrigley Field. You know, it's a horrible, horrible thing. But I think on balance, his handling of the pandemic has been pretty admirable. I think, there is some polling that suggests that over 50% of Illinoisans view that way. So, I mean, that's something. I mean, state finances in some respect have stabilized because of, federal COVID relief money for starters, but also because, state income taxes and sales taxes had been surging during the pandemic, oddly enough. And so those two things combined have done things. And then he's really done things that his base likes. You know, again, back on abortion, he enacted legislation that, basically put in place, got rid of an Illinois trigger law, basically, that if Roe versus Wade was overturned, that we would not revert back, as other states have, to an outright prohibition on abortion. And he got rid of parental notification for abortion. So, I mean, he's done things like that have been aimed at the base. So, I mean, he's got a litany of things that he can point to and is pointing to in a campaign.
Now, here is where State Senator Darren Bailey wants to take his party and the state.
Do you feel overtaxed?
Yeah.
Do you feel overregulated?
Yes.
Are you tired of being ignored by Springfield?
Yes.
Friends, I hear you. Because I am you. It's that simple. But friends, here's the deal. I don't want you to just believe in me. I need you to believe in Illinois. I want you to believe in our future. And when people ask us where we're from, I want you to be proud to say that we are from Illinois.
Before Governor Pritzker, we had a Republican governor, Bruce Rauner, right, in office for 4 years. Rauner was a moderate Republican in many ways. How would a Bailey administration differ from what we saw under Governor Rauner, Dave?
That is a really good question, Sasha, because, you know, the hallmark of the Rauner time was the two-year budget impasse and his inability to get anything done through the legislature. And, you know, there are super majorities right now in the legislature, and those numbers could come down if there is a Republican wave. But if there is a Bailey administration, the trick for him is going to be figuring out a way for him to work with Democrats, starting with how do you pass a budget? And what does a budget look like? Because, you know, people don't pay attention to budgets largely. It's not sexy, but mm-hmm. that is the one statement that really sort of embodies what an office holder stands for. It shows his priorities or her priorities. And for Darren Bailey, he has talked about just stripping all the pieces off the car here and starting over. And that's not going to fly with Democrats in the General Assembly.
What do you think, David?
Well, you asked about Governor Pritzker's record. Let's not forget he lost on the progressive income tax, and a lot of that had to do with a lack of trust in government and a feeling that government is spending and continues to spend more than it should, and that there's been very little effort to actually cut the run rate of what it costs to run Illinois government. That message appealed in the progressive tax fight, and it will appeal as Darren Bailey runs for governor. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people in Illinois, regardless of their politics, feel that the actual cost of government really has not been addressed. And so that could be a big factor. The other big factor is you listen to that tape. Darren Bailey is a Trumpie, but he also is a populist in a way that he actually is focused on the people of Illinois in a way that Donald Trump is not. Donald Trump's narcissism allows him only to focus on himself. Darren Bailey does seem outwardly focused, and that could catch on, especially if Governor Pritzker is as focused on a national race as he is on running Illinois. Yeah. And if you listen to that memorable run of the connecting Darren Bailey to President Trump, Pritzker is going to essentially set this up as a Pritzker versus Trump/Bailey contest. Because Governor Pritzker apparently has national aspirations, mm-hmm. he's got to worry about the Bailey part of that, because the Bailey part of that, I think, is going to put together a pretty formidable campaign.
So I want to quickly touch back on the money, right? You brought that up earlier, David Greising. A lot poured into this race. Lake Forest businessman Dick Uihlein backed Bailey with more than $9 million. Meanwhile, hedge fund mogul Ken Griffin, he put $50 million into the campaign of Richard Ervin, Aurora mayor, who came in third. What did $50 million get Ken Griffin?
Well, let me tell you how profound the defeat was, because the Griffin political team put together a slate. And I believe every member of the slate got defeated. Are some races too close to call? And so our listeners know I'm talking about the candidates for attorney general, secretary of state, treasurer, attorney general.
Yeah.
They all went down, right?
Or is it Tom Demmer win for controller?
Well, I think he was uncontested.
Okay, right.
Okay,
so 1-1.
I think what he got for, in a sense, was a lesson that you can't just make a campaign out of a test tube candidate where you look on paper. A mayor, that's good. A big city, hey, that's good. A mayor who is black, who could speak to certain issues, that's good. But then you take away the fact that in anything you have to have that sauce, which is you got to have some kind of personality and be willing to deal. So he learned that a rose garden strategy isn't there.
Yeah.
But one thing I want to say is that one of the things that you just heard in the clip you used from Darren Bailey was why he's so good. He is co-opting this Believe in Illinois. And let me tell you why that is there. First of all, we're sitting around a table. I am a proud Illinoisan by birth. So isn't it interesting that the man who is part of a movement to have downstate succeed from Illinois is now telling us all Believe in Illinois as a rallying cry? Now, one of the things, let's watch if what Democrats do is if he co-opts the idea that he's more Illinois than anyone else. One of the mistakes I thought the Democrats made during the Obama years was when the Affordable Care Act came out, a Republican said derisively, it's Obamacare. It took a few years until Obama and his team said, you're darn right, it's Obamacare, and there's nothing wrong with it. To say that people don't believe in Illinois is injecting an element I am not aware of. We have debates over policy and fiscal philosophy, which I think I'm putting on the table, will be overwhelmed in the governor's race by social issues, hot-button social issues. It will be interesting to have this man now lead the call for Illinois because Chicago is part of Illinois.
As we've said, this is a high-stakes race, and Darren Bailey's win says a lot about the direction the Republican Party is headed in Illinois. So what are Republicans prioritizing ahead of midterms in November? We're going to bring in another voice to help us get an idea. Chris Roebling is a GOP strategist. He joins us now. State Senator Darren Bailey is now the Republican candidate for governor. He's hitting Governor Pritzker on the economy, on crime. What do you make of Bailey's message?
Well, I think that Bailey's got a lot of messages to choose from, and I think his messaging going forward is going to be about the sort of kitchen table issues that affect people, whether they live in Woodlawn or Austin or Rockford or Cairo. I mean, the entire state, I think, is reeling from the effects of the of COVID lockdown, et cetera. And now we've got proposals to increase tax where, you know, Iowa has reduced tax. We've got out-of-control property taxes. Indiana has a cap of 1% on property tax. So I think that the question for Bailey isn't so much what he's going to talk about. It's how he's going to focus on a few issues to prevail in November.
And let's focus on Bailey here. He's clearly resonated with Republican voters in this state. I believe he took every county except one. He basically crushed the competition, Chris. So what is it that you would say is resonating about Bailey for GOP voters?
Well, people appreciated the fact that he stood up and went after Governor Pritzker on the mandates and had the courage, the temerity, some would say, to do so, and that he was successful. But in addition to that, he had the good fortune of running against a empty suit who was the mayor of Aurora, who was chosen in a back room by a bunch of establishmentarians who had no idea of what the people in the precincts, and I don't care if they're Democrat precincts or Republican precincts, but they had no idea what the people in the precincts were interested in. And, you know, Mr. Griffin, Ken Griffin, who is a very wealthy hedge fund guy, spent $60 million with some discredited campaign consultants and came in third. Not even second. The guy who came in second was a nice guy who was sort of wandering around the state saying, I believe in Illinois. Why don't you make me the governor? And that is Jesse Sullivan. And, you know, I'm sure one of these days he's going to figure out why he was running, but no one else could. And that's why he didn't win either.
You know, leading up to this primary, Chris, we had the January 6th hearings unfolding on Capitol Hill, laying out in great detail how President Trump pushed the lie that the 2020 election was stolen. The election wasn't stolen. Bailey hasn't been explicit on what he believes about the 2020 election. How relevant are the revelations of the January 6th hearings to Republican voters?
They're huge. They're huge. And Bailey's going to have to get on top of this, maybe not today or tomorrow. Because you've got Greising and you've got McKinney and you've got Sweet, they're going to remember a guy named Bob Blair. Bob Blair lost a seat in Congress because he got in the switches of the Regional Transportation Authority. So for all of your old listeners, that's going to mean something. But today, Bailey is potentially caught in the switches because he accepted an endorsement from Trump, mm-hmm. as Trump is being revealed, you know, to any Republican with an open mind, the satisfaction of anybody with an open mind, Trump knew as of the 1st of December meeting with Bill Barr, there was nothing to the allegations. All of his behavior after that was bad. His behavior from 2 January to 6 January was absolutely traitorous. And so Bailey is sort of was caught in the middle of all of this, and he's going to have to distance himself from Trump because the Trump's elevator, to quote Prince, is only going down. Okay, it's not coming back up.
So
it's
do you
going down to a very hot place where he deserves to be?
Do you worry that what the committee's laid out about Trump could turn off some moderate GOP voters or independents?
I hope it turns off everybody. I hope it extinguishes Trump for 2024, so the Republicans don't have that albatross on or about their necks. I mean, I hope that I'm cheering for the committee to make it unquestionable that Trump is in deep legal trouble and can't be a candidate for any, you know, dog killer in, you know, Bonaventure County, Florida. Trump needs to, I'm hoping the committee buries Trump.
Before we let you go, Chris, how do you see the battle between Bailey and Pritzker shaping up and playing out ahead of November?
Pritzker, I think that anybody who sort of sits back and says, we don't have to worry about Bailey, he's from downstate, isn't in touch with folks and what is being discussed at kitchen tables all over the state of Illinois. Darren Bailey farms 12,000 acres. Think about that. He has an excavation business. He's all over the state excavating. I think he's got a construction business. He and his wife started a school. The school is educating kids. They're getting great results in their education, their attainment. This is a very serious person who stood up to Pritzker and won in court when everybody said he couldn't. Everybody said he was insane. So people who want to sit back and say, Pritzker, he's our guy because he's pro-choice, or he's our guy because he's in the pocket of the unions, or he's our guy because he wants to raise taxes. People who think that way probably need a little bit of a attitude adjustment.
That is GOP strategist Chris Roebling. Chris, thank you so much.
Good to be with you.
All right, so Dave McKinney, David Greising, and Lynn Sweet are still with us. I want to get your reaction. GOP strategist Chris Roebling started off, said Bailey's got a lot of messages to choose from. Dave McKinney, what do you think?
Well, I think Chris called us old, didn't he?
He did. He did. I was going to skip over that, but you right. Went there.
Yeah, I went there. So.
You went there.
Yeah, I think
he said all of our older listeners will remember.
Exactly. No offense taken, Chris. So I don't know. I think that Bailey certainly does have a lot to choose from. So long as he stays on this populist message, we know that populist politicians have a way of winning the hearts of voters. I mean, look at Donald Trump. I mean, he was a populist, and look how it worked for him mm-hmm. in 2016. So I think there's a lot of room there. And to pick up on a point that I think David made earlier about Darren Bailey, I mean, he has this real novelty about him, and that's that's just the way he seems to connect with people. And I think as long as, you know, he's got strategists around him that sort of help him with this, if they keep him contained as this sort of homespun guy, this farmer, this aw shucks guy, you know,
yeah.
who as Chris points out, has serious credentials. I mean, running a farm it takes some business smarts. I think that, you know, he has some ability to go places, but here's the deal. With Bailey, you know, Ken Griffin's money is not here. I don't know where I don't know where Darren Bailey gets the money from to finance a campaign against a man who spent $170 million to get elected, and that's Pritzker.
Yeah.
Pritzker is prepared to spend that much again. And how Bailey competes with that, how – you know, if the Pritzker ads start going up now as they are, and Darren Bailey doesn't go up until September, well, by that point, Bailey is already defined to the mass populace out there.
Yeah,
that's a problem for him.
Lynn, Chris suggested that Trump's endorsement could be a liability for Bailey. Does that seem to be accurate to you? Is Bailey likely to distance himself moving forward?
So Chris said that he accepted the endorsement from Trump as Trump is being revealed as knowing exactly that he did not win the election.
As if this was brand new information.
No. But that's – so why would that? And Chris, if you're listening, we go way back. I would like to think that we're seasoned.
Chris is old, too.
Yes. No, it's not old. To our listeners, we are seasoned.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
All. It's like a good stew. We've been simmering. And so that's why we are here with our flavorful conversation. But in serious, though, here's where I disagree with him. I think this hearing exists in bucket one, and Darren Bailey and Governor Pritzker's general election campaign are in bucket two.
Yeah.
If Trump was so easily discredited, Mary Miller and Darren Bailey would not have won, and Peggy Hubbard would not have done as well in that Illinois Senate primary. So I just don't see how these revelations are going to make a difference.
Grising, the first name he called out. Chris called Richard Ervin an empty suit and Jesse Sullivan a nice guy wandering around the state. Harsh words, right? Do you think voters agreed, though?
I think voters probably did agree. Jesse Sullivan didn't really clarify what he wanted to do as governor, and Richard Ervin really was not given the chance, chose not to take the chance to really establish himself as a person that people could connect with. You can't do a Rose Garden strategy if you're not in the Rose Garden yet. And the Griffin people controlled that campaign. Mm-hmm. We saw last night in his concession speech what a real Richard Ervin might have looked like on the stump. But he was so worried about his inability to express a winning position on abortion for a Republican electorate and to clarify exactly where he stood on Donald Trump. And so he was caught in this box, and he never was able to get out and really campaign.
Came third.
Yeah, and I think that Chris Roebling's point about Trump was very interesting. Darren Bailey did not need that endorsement. Tactically, he could have left himself some wiggle room going into the general election by not seeking and getting that endorsement.
Yeah.
I think Chris is right. Donald Trump is with him whether he wants it or not from this point forward.
Yeah.
And that could end up being a problem for him.
It's going to be hard
David
to distance
Greising,
himself.
Great point.
Yeah, great point.
Thank you, Vin.
That's all for today's Reset. As midterm elections approach, we will be keeping you up to date on the latest developments. So be sure to listen live at 11 every weekday on 91.5 FM or on the WBEZ app. Or you can catch us in the afternoons right here on your podcast feed. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening, and we'll meet you right back here tomorrow.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.